Welcome to the Flow Tracing Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracer recording. It's 12:09 a.m. and that is on April 26th, but this is the video for April 25th, and just recording a little bit later than normal, just basically due to a conflicting schedule. So we had a very interesting day, and there is a benefit to recording a little later because earnings for both Google and Microsoft have been released post the close. So they were both positive, and the Nasdaq is up over 1% in the after hours. But the regional banks index was at a new reaction low in here today, and First Republic was down over 40%. So the pace of interest rate hikes has been aggressive enough to put significant pressure on the banking sector. And this has certainly weighed on the regional banks, so smaller banks overall. Now, it's easy to just ignore the fact that it is the regional banks rather than the larger banks that are under the greatest pressure. And there's certainly a tendency to think that if it's only the regional banks, well, then it really might not be all that bad. But the S&P 500 banks index was also in negative territory today. And I think perhaps more important than that is that the rebound has been exceptionally modest. So even though we've seen these statistics that the bigger banks have successfully received large volumes of deposits coming in from the regional banks, that has not really been enough to spur a recovery, and we're still in an environment where interest rates continue to rise. But then we can also look at what's happening in companies like Google and Microsoft. So they have come through with earnings, and they were stronger than had been anticipated. So Google at present is hovering around the 105 level, and that's pretty close to where the region of the 200-day moving average is and the succession of lower rally highs. Now, $1 on the upside is not really enough to break the downtrend just yet, but certainly if earnings are coming through stronger than anticipated, well, it is at least some confirmation that the economy is in rude health. So advertising spending is concentrating in companies like Google. Then Microsoft has been a very strong performing share since they adopted the subscription business model nearly a decade ago, and it is holding here at around, well, yesterday it was holding around the 250 area, but it's up $24 in the after hours, and that's going to take it all the way up here to 300. So that's an exceptionally strong performance, and that certainly says that this consolidation may well be over, and that it's completely recouped almost all of the decline from the end of 2021. So Microsoft Business is firing on all cylinders based upon that performance. So then if we zoom out and think about the large cap companies, well, the Nasdaq has been steady around the region of the 200-day moving average. It's likely to be in positive territory tomorrow. So that's bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. So what are we to make of this? When banks are underperforming and technology shares are demonstrating relative strength because there's strong earnings. Well, of course, I think what we really need to put that in the context of is how is the broad market doing? Are most stocks behaving more like a bank or more like a tech stock? And what we have here is that the advanced decline line for the NYSE, it did rebound in the early part of this year, but it is pushing down again. So what this is really representative of is narrowing breadth. And historically, at least, when the advanced decline line underperforms like this, well, it's either representative of a period of stress in the wider market prior to it going up again later, or it can be a sign that there's much more significant stress. So in 2007, it peaked early and then it trended downwards for more than a year. And then, of course, it was really deteriorating very swiftly in 1999. So even as the stock market was hitting new all-time highs, the advanced decline line had been going down in a very aggressive manner. So I think it is an important thing to pay attention to. And as we think then about what is happening in terms of interest rates, well, the 10-year yield has also been contracting here. So the enthusiasm for technology, and most particularly large cap technology shares, is very much entwined with the potential that interest rates are going to come back down. And interest rates could easily come back down when we think about what's happening in the banking sector and what that says in terms of broader growth worries. So the 10-year yield is down 9 basis points today, coming back down to test the region of the 200-day moving average. To me, at least, this continues to look like a topping formation. And more likely than not, we're going to see a significant decline. And that will be in response to weaker economic growth overall. So the outperformance of the technology segment, that is very much an outlier if the advanced decline line continues to move lower. Then let's look at what's happening with the dollar. So lower yields imply greater demand, and the dollar index was in positive territory today. Gold prices have rallied up to test the 2000 level and are consolidating. So the price was a little bit steadier in here today. But I do think that there is a risk that we could come back in to test at the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, when we look at this in US dollars, it has raced to get up to the $2,000 level. So, given that performance, then the potential is that we do get a somewhat lengthier period of consolidation. And so far, this range has been exceptionally narrow and very orderly. So that's very encouraging. But if we get a further rally in the dollar, and not least because investors become progressively more worried about the outlook for growth, well, that will weigh on the gold price in the short term, but I think it will create a buying opportunity. And there is a very strong potential that gold will break on the upside because there are, I think, four real big ways of interpreting what's happening in interest rates. There's the simple way. That's that the Federal Reserve is raising rates because they're worried about inflation. And if that is really the case, then they will keep going until inflation is under control. And CPI peaked almost a year ago, and it's down to around 5%. So if they raise rates next week and push it up into the 5 to 5.25% band, and CPI is pretty close to where that is right now at 5%, well, then you have positive real interest rates. And positive real interest rates, regardless of whether you decide to think about it in terms of the yield curve or the inflation protected bonds or not. When CPI is lower than the Fed funds rate, then most people are going to think of that as positive real rates. What it also suggests is that we are in a very tight money environment. So that, I think, is something that will play into the wider economy. When investors are thinking about inflation, well, if they raise rates to control inflation, that inflation is now coming back down, well, the argument would follow that they don't have to raise rates as much. And that is suggesting that we're in a very benign economic environment. So that's what we might view as the Goldilocks scenario. So then there's the second one. They're raising rates because they're trying to create a a healthy market for US Treasuries, and the fact that US Treasury yields are coming back down, that supports the view that by raising rates and pushing yields higher, then it drew in new buyers. So that's certainly beneficial for the US economy, that and most particularly the US government, that there are willing buyers for treasuries because yields went up. So that's an additional way of thinking about it, that the USA needs to create a viable market for its bonds, particularly in an environment where China and Japan and Saudi Arabia aren't buying them anymore. So the traditional funders of the deficit are not buying the bonds. Therefore, you have to raise rates enough to encourage new buyers in. And the fact that bond yields are coming back down suggests that that has been largely successful. But of course, what it also implies is that growth is moderating, and we're seeing a concentration into the very large cap companies. Now, there's a third way of thinking about it, and it's that they're going to cut rates because they will eventually worry more about unemployment than they do about inflation or price stability. And that basically means that they're going to renege on really stamping out inflation, and that they'll cut rates soon because the economy slows down, and that because they don't leave rates higher for longer, inflationary pressures will stay at an elevated or somewhat elevated level for a prolonged period. So then that is something that would be very beneficial for the gold price. Now there's the fourth way. And the fourth way is that we have de-dollarization, and that it doesn't matter what the US government or the Federal Reserve does, because there are some buyers of those treasuries are never coming back, and that ultimately the dollar, following an initial rebound during a more liquidation phase of a bear market, will eventually trend lower over the lengthy medium term as de-dollarization becomes a more pronounced trend. So there is, of course, the potential that there are competing reasons for raising rates. And the most important thing of all is that the Federal Reserve can raise rates until unemployment begins to rise. And until that happens, they're not really under any pressure to stop raising rates. And because the volume of debt has gone up so much, and then we have the total assets of central banks being a very strong correlation with the performance of the stock market. So it trended downwards all the way through 22 and then rebounded. And it has not pushed out to new all-time highs, but certainly the weakness of the dollar over the last year has allowed the total assets of central banks to rebound modestly. But it is starting to come back down, and it hasn't been trending. So this helps to highlight that even though the dollar has been weak over much of this year, it hasn't contributed a lot to the total assets of central banks. So then let's think about China. So what's happening in China is that the administration there is more concerned about limiting the potential for inflation to get out of control than just about anything else. China wants to have the reserve currency, and the thing that they are attempting to achieve is a stable currency in order to create confidence. So what basically the Chinese administration said today is that they're going to try and support the housing market without spending any extra money, and that they will instead attempt to rein in some of the assistance they provided during the pandemic. But of course, that's not good news for the stock market, and the CSI 300 is now pulling back from the region of the 200-day moving average. And the H-share index in Hong Kong is also pulling back from its 200-day moving average. So We had a really good-sized rebound following the announcement of the end of the COVID zero policies, and it looks like it's over. So, absent a clear change of trend in the supply of liquidity, we're likely to see weakness in the Chinese stock market. Now, I think that's especially interesting for the luxury goods sector because companies like LVMH and Hermes have surged higher, and they've been how investors were willing to play, or there were vehicles for playing the Chinese reopening. And then Kering has lagged somewhat, and they came through also with earnings today, and they weren't all that impressive, but it has been lagging significantly over the or relative to the performance of LVMH, for example. But LVMH was also in negative territory today as it tests the, let me just put this into euro, I apologize, as it tests the $900 level. So I do wonder how sustainable this bull market in the luxury goods sector is, where we've seen what I can only describe as premiumization. So the middle of the road type companies aren't really performing. It's the upper end, like Hermes and LVMH, that have really broken higher. And LVMH is now the largest company in Europe and has a market cap in the region of 500 billion. And I do think that there's a sharp contrast between the performance of a company like Google, which is performing a service for much of the global economy and sells advertising on it, relative to companies that pride themselves on servicing a very narrow sliver of the global economy. And I think that isn't sustainable. That you can't grow indefinitely if you're purporting to only serve a small sliver of the global economy. And if China's stock market is rolling over, it suggests that the rebound in demand might not be as sticky as we've seen for other markets. So I think that the first downward dynamic for some of these luxury goods companies is going to be a sign of a peak of at least near-term, but potentially medium-term significance. Now, when we think about the oil market, it's been quite volatile, but it was down to test the $80 level in here today. Now, that's not because supply is suddenly increasing in a big way. It's because demand is questionable. And if demand for oil is questionable, that is a sign of weak economic activity. Now, if we have banks and oil going down and technology going up, then those trends are incompatible. And the premiumization we've seen and the narrowing of breadth, that's not something that is confidence inducing. So as we look at what's happening in terms of the bond markets, I don't believe that investors are really willing to lend any credence to the potential that earnings will be disappointing in future. So obviously, when you have a very strong quarter like we've just had for some of these companies, nobody's going to be thinking like that. But the bigger point, of course, is that if a small number of companies can keep going, that's not representative of health in the wider economy. And Apple won't be reporting until May. It's always late in the earnings season. It's testing the sequence of lower rally highs. With the strong performance of Microsoft in particular, then it might pop on the upside in here tomorrow. But as the global economy slows down, what tech investors are betting on is an exceptionally benign environment that inflation will not only moderate, but then it will stop, and that it will not continue lower, and that it won't move into a contractionary environment. And I think that's a very real potential, that inflation isn't just surprising on the downside now, but that it will continue to surprise on the downside and we'll get a deflationary shock. So that's, I think, something that is quite possible as the full impact of raising interest rates in an aggressive manner feeds through into the wider economy. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.